I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, we roll along. Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. Good to be back in the saddle here. Good to have the assembled members of the hashtag crew assembled around me, including Cam making a special guest appearance here in New York this morning with Hembo and me. Bubba's in Bristol. And we have all the usual stuff. Okay, so we're going through all the different things in order today. We did a bunch of NCAA tournament stuff and a bunch of football in our first hour. Now we get to what I think in the big picture is the most important story of them all. And I will confess, I have been on vacation for a week. I did my best to follow what is a complicated and, from what I could tell, ever-changing story. So I'm going to need this explained to me like I'm in second grade. What exactly is happening with Shohei Ohtani? Let me read you what we have from a news perspective. This is what we ran on Get Up this morning. Shohei Ohtani will address reporters today and address the illegal gambling and theft allegations levied against his former interpreter, a man named Ipe Mizuhara, who was fired by the Dodgers last week in the wake of media inquiries surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a Southern California bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation. Mizuhara told ESPN that Ohtani had no knowledge of his gambling debt and that Ohtani had not transferred the money. The manager of the Dodgers, Dave Roberts, said it's, quote, good that Ohtani will address the matter publicly. Ohtani has not been accused of gambling. None of the bets is believed to have been made on baseball. We all understand where that has led. See Jackson, Shoeless Joe, and Rose, Pete. Baseball announced Friday afternoon that its Department of Investigations is formally looking into the matter. So, again, you guys were living in this last week. I was doing my best to follow it. Hembo, you know as much about baseball in general as anybody I know. So talk me through this. What is it I'm supposed to be thinking right now is going on with Shohei Ohtani?
I need to reread one sentence that you just read because it's the key one. Mizuhara told ESPN that Ohtani had no knowledge of his gambling debt and that Ohtani had not transferred the money. The reason why that is worth highlighting, underlining, bolding is because he changed the story. That's the story that they're going with now. It is not, however, the story originally that Mizuhara had told our Tisha Thompson when she sat down and talked to him about this the day before the story broke. And the contradictions here, Greeny, are what are the most fascinating element of the story. It seems like they had all their ducks in a row. Mizuhara sat down with ESPN, gave her the story, presumably telling the truth at that point, and then 24 hours later, they flipped. All of a sudden, they have this new posturing. Ohtani knew nothing about it. Ohtani didn't transfer the money. He had no knowledge of the situation, and that Ohtani was the subject of theft or the victim of theft as his representation.
So for those who weren't following the original story, what was the original version that was told?
The original version of the story was that Shohei Ohtani was upset to learn that his friend in this case had incurred this gambling debt, but transferred the money himself. And so that he did have knowledge of the thing that they're now saying he did not have any knowledge of.
Not only that, Shohei Ohtani's spokesperson, like a representative for him, initially said, even before Mizuhara sat down with Tisha Thompson on Tuesday, 90-minute interview, and detailed all of this, Shohei Ohtani's representative or, you know, spokesperson, something like that, was the one who said Ohtani covered the debts himself. Then I think his lawyers got involved because they realized how bad that looked, and the story was entirely different on Wednesday. Once they heard the full detailed story from Mizuhara, they probably learned more than they thought was there. Realize how bad it looked. Wednesday, Mizuhara is fired, and Ohtani knows nothing about it. So it changed overnight.
Right.
While they were playing the games in Seoul. It was crazy.
And the games were here, right? The games were on ESPN.
Yes.
And all that. So I missed a lot. So
a tangled web.
So what am I supposed to think about this now?
You're supposed to be super skeptical of the story that the Dodgers and Ohtani's reps are peddling. I'm not suggesting that Ohtani is guilty. I know nothing. But I think it is I think that it is unlikely that Shohei Ohtani's best friend, someone with whom he once said he spent more time with than his own wife, knew nothing about this until the Dodgers as a team were told this in a clubhouse in Korea. And that's the story we're supposed to believe now. These guys are extremely close and have been for years, dating back to his Angels days. And so the idea that he had no knowledge of this up until now, I think, is very unlikely if you're just to use deductive reasoning. Obviously, this is recoverable if and only if no baseball was bet on. But even so, we're talking about a state in which gambling is illegal, a bookmaking operation for which is being investigated, and millions, at least $4.5 million, which is very likely more than $4.5 million.
So look, there are a lot of different things one can think. So what you are about to hear are just the thoughts that go through a person's mind. I want to make it clear. What we are reporting, what we know, are the things we have said. Nothing you're about to hear from this conversation should be taken as the Greeny Show is saying this may have happened or that this did happen. I don't know any more of it. I'm having this explained to me real time. The first thought one has when one reads something like this on vacation over a very relaxing, you know, oat milk latte and waiting for my kids to wake up.
I'm shocked.
And reading this and trying to keep up with everything and not feeling the pressure of I have to be on the air in 20 minutes, but just sort of sitting back and digesting it. The reaction one has is maybe Ohtani was the one gambling and his friend is taking the fall, because if Ohtani is gambling, he gets thrown out of baseball, and that's the biggest thing that ever happened in the history of mankind. And if his friend did, it is merely a problem that rises to the level of nuisance, maybe slightly higher than nuisance, but certainly not the catastrophic result that comes from this if it turns out that Ohtani actually lost $4.5 million gambling.
That is worse than worst-case scenario. If that is...
Well, to be clear, what you're saying is when you say worse than worst-case... You're saying you do not think that's possible?
I think it's possible, but it is unfathomably bad for all the obvious reasons.
But is it not the first thing that went through your mind?
Of course it's the first thing that went through my mind, but I'm doing the very best I can not to jump to the worst possible thing. And that's where that would take us. It's hard to...
Who is likelier to lose $4.5 million betting? The guy who's got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, or his interpreter?
Well, Bizarre has said... In the interview with Tisha on Tuesday, tries to keep up with Shohei's lifestyle, obviously, because they're very good friends, and I think he got a pay increase, so was able to do that. But said specifically, I have a massive gambling problem, and I did this. There's no reason for him, in my mind, to lie about Shohei being involved and then switching the story the next day to him not being involved. Why would he say he was involved in the first place? If the story was just going to change, that's why I think Ohtani's lawyers got involved and basically separated Ohtani from the issue. I think Ohtani did cover the debts, didn't do any gambling of his own, but it's still a bad look that he is involved at all.
Well, so let's analyze the difference between those two. What is, if you're the person who has to adjudicate all this, if you're Rob Manfred or whoever it is, what is the difference between Ohtani was the one making the bets versus Ohtani is the one who covered the bets, paid for the bets, but did not place them himself?
In order to answer that question, I need to know for sure whether or not he bet on baseball. If Shohei Ohtani is even himself betting, even himself all in on it, and he's betting on horse racing or European football or whatever, then it is recoverable. It's awful for baseball. A suspension of some kind is inevitable, but it's something for which you can bounce back from. If betting on baseball occurred, this is Pete Rose on steroids. And that's obviously the worst case scenario. And so that's why I'm doing the very best I can to be patient and not reflexive. But it's so difficult to be that way when you're talking about the face of the sport.
But which is, let's say Mizuhara bet on baseball. Ohtani did not have knowledge of that ahead of time, but covered his debts so that Mizuhara, you know, because if you owe someone $4.5 million, that's a bad thing. And so out of their long-lasting friendship, he said, all right, I'll cover this debt for you. If there were bets placed on baseball, but Ohtani was not involved, but did cover the bets, did actually write the check or however it is that gets paid.
Wired it. Yeah.
Is that Joe Jackson?
No. It's not Joe Jackson. It's not Joe Jackson because we're not talking about a player impacting the outcome on a field. But you could easily dream up a scenario in which this story becomes that, most definitely. I'm just doing my very best to collect my thoughts there, because we're talking about then the biggest story in sports history of its kind. I mean, ever. I mean, for this to be the thing that baseball deals with when they're kicking off the season overseas with his, like, the first image you have of Shohei Ohtani in a Dodgers uniform comes concurrently with this story breaking. It was just surreal to experience this live. I'd like to think that a person as self-aware and as intelligent as we all know Ohtani to be will not find himself embroiled in this. But addiction is addiction, and this is a thing that a lot of Americans, this is a thing that a lot of people deal with across the globe. This is also someone with whom he is extremely close. This is his best friend. So the idea that we should assume that, you know, the Dodger story is on the straight and narrow, the no knowledge thing, strikes me as extremely unlikely.
Yeah, well, I'm always willing to give you the benefit of the doubt. But when the first thing you tell me, you change your mind about the next day, you have just forfeited the benefit of the doubt. So now my inclination is not to believe anything. Now, as my mind goes, I feel a need, because this is such a sensitive topic, I feel the need to repeat what I just said 2 or 3 minutes ago. We are no longer in the area of reporting. We are not telling you. I read the report. The report I read at the beginning of this conversation is what we know to be true. And Ohtani himself will address it sometime late this afternoon. They play like 9 o'clock Eastern tonight, right? And he's going to address the media before the game?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
So, you know, something in the neighborhood of 8 hours from now or something, he is going to address this. And obviously what he says will be critically important. But I would underline what you just said. And Bubba, I want to hear a take or two from you on this. Like, I feel like we're sitting on the biggest story ever. Like, you know, you and I, Hembo and I, have made a little cottage industry here about writing books that are about the history of sports. We actually have a section, one of the book, the sections in our next book, the ones coming out this fall, is going to be the biggest scandals, right, in sports history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this has got to be right, depending on the direction it goes. Again, we have no idea what the outcome of it all is going to be, but it certainly has all the makings of as big a scandal as you could ever possibly have, because as big a star as Pete Rose was, and he was, Shohei Ohtani is the biggest, if he isn't the biggest global star in all of sports, he's damn close.
Yeah,
he's like with Messi and people like that.
And
right?
He just got a $700 million contract to the MLB's, one of their biggest teams. So
yeah.
If he was on the Angels, this would be different. The fact that it came on the heels of him moving to a new team, this is going to be a huge thing for this sport. Boom, gambling scandal. However involved he was, it's going to stick to him to some extent. They can make it go away a little bit, but not entirely.
Bubba.
Yeah, I guess there's some other stuff with the interpreter, too. They're saying where he lied on his resume about he didn't go to the college that he said he did. He also didn't work with the Red Sox, I guess. So there's a lot of just sketchy stuff going on with him that just seems – I mean, I'm really going to be fascinated to see what Ohtani is supposed to talk this afternoon, like you said earlier. To me, that's got to be must-see TV. Like, what is he going to say? I'm with you where I just feel like I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, and that's – fine, but there's just so much stuff that just doesn't make sense. I go right to kind of what you said, where it's, I feel like he's involved. That's your first thought, is he's involved, but I'm open to hearing what he has to say. But for someone who they've just talked multiple times how close they are, they work together all the time, they're friends, and for him to not know anything just doesn't seem possible, honestly. But I'm really curious to see what he's going to say today, but it just seems like every day there's more sketchy stuff coming out as an interpreter, which I feel like is weird. But yeah, I'm just going to be glued to the TV later today when Ohtani talks.
The rule, not that anyone who knows anything about the history of sports doesn't already know it, is MLB Rule 21D3. Any player, umpire, or club or league official or employee who places bets with illegal bookmakers or agents for illegal bookmakers shall be subject to such penalty as the commissioner deems appropriate in light of the facts and circumstances of the conduct. Any player, umpire, or club or league official or employee who operates or works for an illegal bookmaking business shall be subject to a minimum of a 1-year suspension by the commissioner. You will notice that deals with the legality of the bookmaking operation, not the subject of the wagering. The baseball piece of it is one thing, but if this is an illegal bookmaker, regardless of who the rules say that there are consequences here, regardless of whether the betting was on baseball or not.
I mean, California is one of the 10 states that you can't do this. And the last point that I should make here, the most important piece of data that we have, is the fact that we know for sure that Ohtani's name appeared on the wire transfers. So these aren't things that can be he said, she said. This is something that we know. So knowledge or not, whatever or not, when your name is on a wire transfer with a ton of money on it, you are going to go down in some form or fashion.
The gray area here is all of this is saying if you're placing bets with an illegal bookmaker. It says nothing about if you're covering debts for an illegal bookmaker. So it could be a gray area where MLB, who's probably trying to protect Ohtani in some sense, Ohtani himself and his representatives and lawyers can get away with, if he had knowledge of it and just provided payment, that's not betting on it. That's just covering his friend's debts. Terrible look, but they might squeak through with a loophole there if there's not anything else in the rules that says something like that.
Good God. That's our Progressive MLB snapshot.
Yikes. Yikes.
Drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. Quote today at progressive.com. Look, that's what's going on. And it could wind up being overwhelmingly the most important thing happening in sports right now. We'll find out. We'll take a short break. Oh, we got trivia here. Well, let's do another trivia.
Wow. Okay. And how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Himbo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
Go.
The one and done era dates to the 2006 NCAA tournament. So since 2006, four schools have reached the Sweet 16 at least 10 times. 10 trips to the Sweet 16 since 2006. You are going to give me, as a group, all four schools.
All four schools. Sweet 16. 10 times since 06. Answer next. ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, happy birthday, Sir Elton, as we play his music all morning long. 77 years old. Is the great Elton John. In 30 seconds, we will try and answer Hembo's question. But first, I'll remind you that ESPN Bet is now live as the official sports book of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. Hembo trivia, go.
The one and done era dates to 2006. So since then, since 2006, there are four schools that have reached the Sweet 16 at least 10 times, and you're going to give me all four schools.
Okay, so we were trying to decide, racking our brain during the break, if there are any sneaky ones. Like, is there anything in here that you would just be shocked to hear? And I think we've come to the conclusion we don't think so, right?
It's a good conclusion, but that doesn't always mean we're
no.
right.
Well, I mean, Gonzaga, they are a blue blood at this point, yeah. right? And I happen to see Bill has tweeted a thing about it either yesterday or the day at some point over the weekend.
They might have the most.
I'm positive Gonzaga's right.
I agree. Let's just lock them in right now.
All right, let's lock in Gonzaga.
That's right.
Yeah.
11 Sweet 16 trips since 2006.
Okay. Is that the most?
It's tied for first with two other schools. It's
tied for first with two other schools. So
a couple 11s and a 10?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We think it's Carolina and Duke. I mean, I just can't imagine.
I think definitely Duke.
I'm more confident in Duke than Carolina.
Yeah, let's lock Duke
very
in.
Very confident in Carolina,
I like both of them.
Roy, I mean, they made the I want to say they made the finals. I think they've won three national championships since then.
I know they've won two. What's the third one? Or what are the years that you're thinking
of? They lost last year in the final, right? They lost to Kansas.
Ago. 2 years ago.
2 years ago in the final?
Last year they didn't make the tournament.
Bubba is incredibly confident about Duke, right? So,
yeah.
And he knows. So, all right, we're going to go Duke.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Duke with 11.
It's another 11.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, I mean, the other one. Needed
that.
We have written down our, like, Nova, Kansas.
Yeah.
Like, it's all the usual suspects. Michigan State, like, Izzo, has he made 10 Sweet 16s?
He's in it every year, obviously. I would guess he definitely has 10 in general, but he's been there for so long. 10 is, like, every other year, and they just haven't been good enough. Like, I think they've probably made it to the second round, like, 12 or 13 times. Sweet 16 is just farther. I don't think Michigan State's in.
What are we doing about North Carolina? Are we gonna go with that or not?
Well, you guys seem to be talking me out of North Carolina. I feel good about
North Carolina.
I'm
just slightly worried about it.
Well, if you're worried about it, who do you feel better? You feel better about Villanova?
Nova, Kansas. I think it's
too. Did Jay Wright take them to 10? Is it not Kentucky?
The past 5 years concern me about them because they'd have to do it almost every year from like 06 to 18 or 19, which they certainly could have.
They probably did.
That's true.
What year did Calipari get to Kentucky?
Late 2000s, right? I think 09 or something.
Is it before 06 or after 06?
I think after.
Me too, because he had Derrick Rose.
Because he was in Memphis.
He had Derrick
so
Rose
he misses a
Memphis.
Couple years there. He'd have to do it like every single year for 10 years.
He would have to have
which
made
he probably,
10 in a
he
row.
Could have, yeah.
Which they could have.
Yeah.
I don't remember them losing in the first round.
I think I'm fine with UNC.
Pineapple Jack is yelling UNC.
Let's get UNC in there.
Oh, right, let's go UNC.
That's right.
Yes, okay.
UNC also with 11, Sweet 16 trips since
06.
We got the 3-11s.
So there's just a 10. So we have Kentucky, Nova.
This is so good.
Kentucky, Nova, Kansas, and
Embo
Michigan State.
This.
Cam made his way all the way down to New York City for this moment.
Just to
for
see trivia in purpose.
Moment.
I feel it. We're not forgetting anybody, right?
Like, I don't think so. It has to be one of those people.
No,
I don't think so.
Arizona?
Virginia, but
the other one I thought of is like UConn, but they just win a national championship and then go away quite
they
often.
They went a bunch of years there where, where they were sort of irrelevant. They're going to make it the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Nova,
Kansas, Kentucky.
I feel like it's one,
I think
of,
it's
those
one of those
four.
Three.
I mean, Kansas, Bill Self.
I feel like he used to have a reputation for losing early a lot, but I feel like that's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
He's won two championships there? Were both of them after 06?
08 and 2 years ago? Did he win one in 08?
He won one a long time ago.
With Mario
I like Kansas. They seem the most consistently, besides Kentucky the last few years.
Yeah, I don't feel as good about Villanova.
Yeah.
I
think go with Kansas.
Either, like, goes far, they lose right away, though.
That could be true.
All right. Do we feel good about Kansas?
It's a good guess.
Do you feel good about Kansas?
I mean, we can go down swinging with Kansas.
All
that's,
right.
That's certainly an
I won't
guess.
Feel bad. I can sleep tonight if this is wrong.
Yeah.
We're going to go with Kansas.
Come on.
And the correct answer is Kansas.
Yeah! I love it. It is Gonzaga, Carolina, Duke, and Kansas.
Woo!
That is so well done by us. We are so good.
That was surgical.
How close were Nova, Kentucky, and Michigan State?
Michigan State has 9.
Wow, closer than I thought.
Kentucky has 8, and Villanova has 7.
Oh,
okay.
So
good. We nailed it.
You nailed it.
Right,
you freaking nailed it.
In all the right places. Okay, that is an outstanding job by us.
Hell yeah.
Hembo Trivia, our favorite thing every day. Starting Stronger starts at AutoZone, where they got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone with AutoZone.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
Deion Sanders was on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast. And you're going to hear him be asked about where he believes his son, Shador, and Colorado star Travis Hunter, the two huge stars on Deion's Colorado football team, where he believes they will be drafted next year. And whether he meant to or not, Deion Sanders made what I think is going to be the most important statement of this entire draft cycle, and one that really may herald the beginning of a new era of sports as we'd know them. Here's Deion.
Where do you predict Shador and Travis going in the draft?
Top four.
Ooh, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from one through four. One of them is going to be one. The latter one would not go behind four. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't going to happen.
Okay, you want point?
It's going to be it's going to be an Eli.
It's going to be an Eli. I feel a need to explain for anyone who may not know what that means. Eli Manning, very famously, because his father's career was ruined. Let's go all the way back. Eli Manning's father, Archie Manning, played his college football at Ole Miss. He was a spectacular college player. He was the second pick in the NFL draft. He got drafted by the moribund New Orleans Saints, the team that was basically made famous wearing paper bags over your heads for fans.
The Aints.
He was on terrible teams basically his entire career. And then Archie has the three sons, as we all know. Peyton's already in the NFL by this time. He's already a young star. Eli is coming along. He's going to be the first pick in the draft out of Ole Miss. And Archie looked at the San Diego Chargers at that time as a team that, for whatever reason, he did not want Eli to go to. And we've seen some of the reasons why, I think, play themselves out in the way they handle stuff. But whatever. The Manning family decided Eli's not going there. They made it very clear, and they got what they wanted. He was technically drafted by the Chargers, but traded like 20 minutes later to the Giants for Phillip Rivers. And that's what happened. He's not the only player ever to do that. Among them, John Elway very famously didn't want to play in Baltimore, threatened that if the Colts drafted him with the first pick in the draft, he would go play baseball, which he theoretically had the option to do. They wound up trading that pick to Denver, and the rest is history. So a very select few players who've had unique leverage have dictated where they go. And I tell you what, more power to them. More power to them. This is a system that basically determines whether or not these young men can have the lives, the careers, the legacies that they have spent their entire lives working for. And when you've got owners like John Mara saying, we've done everything possible to screw that kid up in Daniel Jones. When you look at what the Jets did to Sam Darnold, which literally should have been bordering on illegal, ruined his career. That's a person who may very well have had, his destiny may very well have been to be a great player, to make hundreds of millions of dollars, to be a star whose name would be remembered forever. Instead, he got drafted by a franchise that couldn't get out of its own way. They tanked two of his three seasons there, and he's now a journeyman. Destined, that's his destiny now. That's his life. So you're telling me that Shador Sanders, I'm just using him as an example because Deion brought him up, or Caleb Williams shouldn't have the right to say, if they have the ability to try it, I don't want to go there. That's a situation that sucks. That's a situation, let's use Chicago for an example. I know everyone in Chicago is all mad at RG3. When you listen to this show, you've been hearing me say it for months. You draft a quarterback when a coach is a lame duck. You are setting him up for failure. You did it to Mitch Trubisky. You did it to Justin Fields. And now you're doing it again. If you want Caleb Williams to feel a lot better about getting drafted by the Chicago Bears, extend the contract of Matt Eberflus and do it publicly. Tell the whole world, Matt Eberflus is our coach. Shane Waldron is our offensive coordinator, and ain't nothing going to change that. Nothing's going to change that. If we go 2-15 this year, those guys are going to be in their places. So that he knows he does the entire franchise, these guys' jobs don't depend on his performance as a rookie. Because these quarterbacks, look at Patrick Mahomes, and you tell me, Patrick Mahomes is going to go down as the greatest player in NFL history. He's going to make $1 billion playing football. If he had been drafted in the exact situation that Sam Darnold was, what would Patrick Mahomes be now? I'm not trying to diminish Patrick Mahomes. He's the best I've ever seen. And the person who gets the most credit for that is him. But these are circumstances beyond these guys' control. So I have zero issue with these players exercising whatever level of control over it they are able to do. Let's hear from the guys. Hembo.
I'm trying to figure out exactly what is the action step here. Are you suggesting that the NFL draft itself should be detonated? Like, are you saying that players coming out of college collectively should get to choose where they play?
Absolutely not. The draft
just Deion Sanders' son
serves a purpose. No, just any player who Caleb Williams could do it. Say, don't draft me. Did Kevin Durant? Well, look, now if he makes it very clear to the Bears, I don't want to be drafted by you, they have to make a decision. Do we draft him and run the risk of him being unhappy, holding out? It happens in basketball, right? Is Carmelo Anthony still in Denver? Is Dwight Howard still in Orlando? Is Kevin Durant still on any of the teams he's ever been on before in his career? Kevin Durant woke up on a Thursday, decided, I don't want to be in Brooklyn anymore, and he slept that night in Phoenix.
Has Caleb Williams proven himself to be a Hall of Fame player in the NFL yet?
Of course not.
Well, all those guys did.
But
before they did that,
Caleb Williams will never get a chance to prove that if he is drafted into a terrible situation. And if he has the clout, look, the Bears can still draft him. Mm-hmm. Mike Tannenbaum said that's what he would do. I asked Mike Tannenbaum that. If Caleb Williams said to you during the process, I don't want to come to your organization, please don't draft me, he'd say, let's sit down and figure out how we can make you happy here, how we can make you comfortable here. But you're going to be a Bear. Whether you report in April or May or September, we're going to draft you, and that's it. And then at that point, then yes, Caleb Williams has no choice. But if he has the ability to say, please don't draft me, the equivalent of asking not to be drafted and making it clear it's not what he wants, are or are not the Bears better off finding someone, to use Mike Tomlin's famous line, we want volunteers, not hostages?
But the moment you declare for the draft, you've lost your leverage. The world of NIL, Cam, now enables you to return to school and still make money. That's the leverage you have as a player, and it's also leverage that Caleb Williams willingly gave up. That's what I don't understand that. Like, it's easy to say all of these things. The player has the opportunity to return to school and potentially wait and be drafted into a better situation next year, but he elected to pass that
up.
But
it could also be worse next year. The team with the worst record in the NFL is always gets the first pick. The Bears situation, at least talent-wise, is actually way better than the norm. But all I'm saying is that none of that matters. If he... Let's put it this way. He has every right to say, this is where I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. And let the team then make the decision. What do you think, Cam?
It is interesting. I think a guy like Caleb Williams probably might be able to pull this off. It doesn't seem like he wants to, but there was whispers about Burrow potentially doing that a couple years ago. And if it works out, you become a folk hero in Cincinnati, but they still have another year to play. It doesn't seem to me that Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are stone cold lead pipe locks for number one. I don't think you can do this if you're like the 13th pick in the draft. I'm not going to play for the Falcons or whatever because they were 8-9 or something like that. Like, it has to be a very specific situation. It worked out for Elway. It worked out for Eli. But I don't think we're just going to see every single player trying to do this. You might see it happen more because their expectations are different now that they have the transfer portal and they can do this in college and they already have some monetary value in NIL. So they have more leverage in that regard. But I don't think they're going to completely be able to, you know, dictate where they go just because they did in college.
You know who drafted Kobe Bryant?
The Charlotte Hornets, right?
Yeah. That's correct. You know who made it clear he wasn't playing in Charlotte? Kobe Bryant and his dad. So, I mean, he wasn't the first pick. I think he was the 12th or 13th pick in the
draft. It's a
good
point.
Is the key having a Hall of Fame dad or a talent like that? Not that Archie's in the Hall of Fame.
Caleb Williams doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams just has a dad who's involved.
Yeah.
And is looking out for his son.
And he's going to Chicago, it looks like.
Yeah. It looks like. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. If that's what his decision is, that's fine. I'm not suggesting he has to, but I'm saying he could force his way out of that situation if he really wanted to. Bubba, give me a final thought.
Yeah, I kind of agree with everyone on the table there, because I agree with what Greeny's saying, that I do think the players should have some say in, because, yeah, Sam Darnold's a perfect example. They get ruined if they go in a bad position, so I think they should have some say, and they shouldn't just have their entire lives and careers ruined. But at the same time, I'm not Mel Kiper, but I'm not sure if some of these people can dictate where they are, to Cam's point. Like, And if it's strictly because his dad is Deion or his coach is Deion, can they? I guess it'll just have to kind of play out. But I don't think it's going to be as prominent. You know, maybe we'll see. Like Cam just said, we thought all these people were going to do it in the past, and it doesn't actually happen. I guess we'll have to wait and see. I'm just not exactly sure. Deion's saying this now, but let's just kind of wait and see what happens. I'm not exactly sure if that both his son and Travis Hunter are both going to dictate where they go. I'll believe it when I see it. I just don't actually think that'll happen.
I believe it. I mean, assuming they're as good as he thinks
they I believe
are.
They'll try.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll be able to pull it off in the way they will. It depends where they're slated to go in the draft, but that's a next year problem.
We'll find out. I don't think Deion's just saying that is the point. And I don't have a problem with him saying it. We're back in a moment on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. Again, the music all from Sir Elton John this morning, 77 years young, one of the all-time great songwriters. Would you have been able to name an Elton John song before we came on the air this morning? You've now heard several of them, Hembo. If I just said to you when you woke up this morning, can you name a song by Elton John? Would you have been able to do it?
Does he sing Candle on the Water?
No, he sings Candle in the Wind.
That's
close. He does not sing Smoke on the Water, which is a very different song. So
Candle on the Water is Helen Reddy.
That's a song?
It's a real song.
Called Candle on the
Candle
Water?
Candle on the Water.
It's a Disney song, is it not? It's sung in a Disney movie, I want to say.
Also, for the record,
Dragon.
I wouldn't say Elton John's known for his songwriting because he has his partner, Bernie Taupin.
He writes the music and Bernie Taupin writes the lyrics, but that's...
Candle on the Water was nominated for an Academy Award.
In the scheme of the
my
overall
knowledge.
Conversation, I think that the nit that was just picked by Bubba feels like a small one.
I just wanted to make sure we're accurate there.
I'm fair. I'm okay calling Elton John a songwriter.
Legendarily bad songwriter.
He has legendarily teamed
someone
with Bernie
else does it for him.
He doesn't write the lyrics. That's I would not consider him a songwriter.
Are you diminishing Elton John?
You don't even know who that is.
I feel like you are. Yeah, and Hembo is somehow mortally wounded by this.
I'm an imperfect
Am
vessel.
I saying that right? Is it Elton?
Elton John.
Didn't he write Smoke on the Water? Was that Deep Purple?
Candle on the Water. I can't believe that's a real song.
It's a real song.
It's a real song.
I know, and it was not nominated for an Oscar.
But guess what it isn't? Song by Elton John. All right.
There's a candle in one of his songs.
Yeah, it's Candle in the Wind, which he then rewrote famously and played at Princess Diana's funeral.
Pretty famous.
Because he said, it seems to me you live your life like a candle in the wind. A song that was originally written about Marilyn Monroe, who died young, and then he sort of rewrote the lyrics of that
he didn't
and sang
write
them.
Yeah, he doesn't write anything.
Maybe Bernie Taupin rewrote the lyrics.
Yeah, he did a great job.
To make them about goodbye and saying goodbye, England's Rose. And referring
beautiful.
To Princess Diana.
Elton, great musician, just not a great songwriter.
Okay, I'm not here for this. All right, I am not here for the Elton John bashing.
Bashing him. He's unbelievable.
No. Stop bashing Elton John.
I feel like you're bashing Elton John.
Let's just be accurate.
I mean, he's played 5 Elton John songs today. So
I've got two things to say. One, my computer restarted.
Nice.
And I would like to have a conversation with whoever it is that designed that. Like, It kept telling me your computer is going to restart, your computer is going to restart, and it gave me the option, snooze, delay, and every time I clicked that, nothing happened. Like, so it was pretending that I had the option to delay the restarting of the computer, but in actuality, I didn't. So it has restarted. So I have nothing on my screen in front of me now, so I'm at a loss. So I'm going to ask you guys, what should we talk about next?
Big time breaking news.
We have breaking news? I would love to tell you what it is, but I can't get into the computer.
Yeah. It's not huge. We expected it. The NFL owners approved the ban of the hip drop tackling technique. A lot of consternation about that potentially going away. It's going to be a 15-yard penalty if flagged during the games.
That's the breaking news?
Yeah.
The banning of the hip drop tackle?
Happened at the meetings.
Can we go back to the Elton John conversation?
And that's not also, such big news. If you get one challenge correct, you'll now get a third.
Oh. Rather than both correct.
Say that
so
again.
So right now in the NFL, if you get two challenges correct, you get to have a third. They're changing it. So if you just get one right out of two, you'll now get a third challenge.
So that doesn't make any sense to me. That's nonsensical to me. So A, I've never believed that the coaches should have anything to do with what plays do and don't get reviewed. But if you're going to give it to them, then you should give them an unlimited number so long as they don't get any wrong. Why would you penalize someone for constantly telling your officials they've gotten the call wrong? If the coach is good, if the coach challenges a call in the first quarter because it was blatantly wrong and is correct, then he should get another challenge. And if he challenges one in the second quarter because it was blatantly wrong and is correct, he should get another one. And if he gets another one in the third quarter and he's right and the officials are wrong, why would you then penalize him and say, this huge call in the fourth quarter that actually winds up deciding the game, you can't challenge it because you've gotten too many challenge opportunities earlier. There's been too many instances where you correctly told our officials they were wrong. Like, it seems like you're penalizing someone for being right. Now, again, I do not believe and never have believed that coaches should have anything to do with these things getting looked at, challenged, overturned, or anything. Those things should be initiated and executed by entirely other people. But if we're going to leave it in the hands of the coaches, I don't think this makes any sense.
So if you were to rebuild replay, you would actually favor the model that they have in college, where they just basically eye in the sky,
yeah,
call the game,
something
take
really
a look.
Obviously wrong. Like, do you feel like they stop the college game too often?
I do, yes.
You do?
I think the college games on average are considerably longer than.
That's because they run so many plays. That's because they don't do anything but just throw the ball, complete the ball, stop the clock on a first down.
But they did the running clock thing this year, which helped a little bit. I'm with you, though. Like, if you're doing eye in the sky for the egregious, that's good. What I don't want is for them to start nitpicking, and that's what I'm afraid would happen.
Well,
is
we have to, again. I have. See, these things are not that complicated. Once again, we must just turn to me because I am, as it says in my Twitter bio, and if it's your Twitter bio, it can't be wrong.
Mm.
I am the world's foremost authority on all matters. And here's what you do. You have the one look rule. If I can look at the replay once and say that call was wrong, we overturn it. If I have to say, can you show me that again? The call stands and we keep going. It's that simple. The instant replay in general was not meant to overturn every bad call. Why? Why are you calling timeout?
I got to read something for you.
What?
I got to read Bubba's Twitter bio.
Okay.
It reads, and I quote, "The Will Cain Show, 90s jam of the day, backup quarterback draft champion, Russillo and Cannell, love it or shove it, Mike and Mike, Fordham." End quote.
That's his bio, meaning that's how he would describe what he has accomplished.
That's just his
resume.
Essentially,
that's
not
resume.
A bio.
No, but it seems to be missing the show that you currently produce.
That's the point.
It's all the past stuff.
And Mike's there.
But the point is, you fail. What do you mean? Why would you only have the past stuff? Like, if someone asked you, what do
you're
you do
retired.
For a living right now, would you not mention this show?
I mean, I could. I just
before I tell you what I do for a living, let me tell you what I used to do for a living.
Yeah. I just choose to have a little memory there.
He's living in the past.
This is
guy.
Really weird, Bubba. You're not retired.
There's so many things in this bio.
There's
and
eight
our
things.
Show is not in this bio anywhere.
I do think I created it. Probably I last updated it probably on the Will Cain Show 1 minute.
That's clear.
And at no point have I thought to update it.
But you have tweeted since the end of the Will Cain Show.
Yeah.
And you've been on this show for 4 years.
And I think Will Cain has had like 5 shows since then.
Changed professions.
He doesn't work here anymore. he works in an entirely other place doing an entirely other thing. So you didn't even specify the Will Cain show on ESPN.
He has a
radio
show now. Maybe Bubba's working on it secretly.
Maybe Bubba is secretly working at Fox.
Neither Russillo nor Cannell work for us either.
What's that? Well,
neither Russillo nor Cannell work for us either.
That's the bottom line is the only person you've ever worked with at ESPN that is still here is me. And I seem to be the one you've overlooked in all of this. So we got to get to the bottom of that. All right.
Consider an update.
Assuming my computer has restarted appropriately, we will have another show tomorrow. If it doesn't, all bets are off. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.